Join me in Luke chapter 23, please. A short message for you today as we prepare for this communion table. Like I'm sure you have over the last week and a half after the decision by the Supreme Court, just troubled. The unknown, which is in front of us. We spoke last week about the sovereignty of God and the church, and don't panic, and that's still true. But as I began to pray and ponder this message, I was taken to this Luke passage. And the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that he spoke from the cross, "Father, forgive them," kept ringing in my ears. And so this is a familiar text, and it's usually done at Easter time, but here I want to bring it to you and certainly acknowledge what's going on here in the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there's two other points I would like to bring out that are not typically brought out or not typically discussed, certainly read. But how are we supposed to respond when such a, what we believe, quite rightly, I think, an unbiblical decision is made and forced on us? How are we to respond? Probably like you, I have been reading all the comments, Facebook and editorials, and there's been the great lashing out, there's been the great disappointment, there's been, you name it. I mean, there's so many positions. But I hope today we will take a step towards understanding a bit of how we should react. Join me in verse 26, chapter 23 of our passage in Luke. And again, this is the story of the early portion of the crucifixion. As they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And I would like to end the reading there. As I said, we know this story well, the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was necessary that God had ordained before the creation of time that his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be given to pay the penalty for sin, and that the Father's name would see justice again through that penalty being paid, and we receive the beautiful blessing of salvation. And so eternity is ours. But what I want to dig into here for just a few moments is that perspective of the earthly things that has now been given to the Christian that Jesus portrays here. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is our God. The Lord Jesus Christ is also termed our friend, our brother. He is one who is God himself become incarnate, but yet we have such a close relationship with him. But he is also our example. And our religion, our faith, is not a do religion. It is not a do faith. I can do nothing to earn or warrant my salvation. It is truly the blessing of God through the gift of grace, of which I hope everyone in this room understands incredibly. But ours is a works revealing our salvation. Ours is a faith of works revealing the relationship we have and the perspective, the life position that we should have as we do live our life for Jesus Christ. And as I said, here in this short passage, I believe Jesus gives us that position, that place of how we should live our lives in the conduct of our lives, given where we find ourselves right now. There was a group of people following Jesus Christ, great multitude. You can imagine this crucifixion drew quite a crowd. And the poor gentleman, Simon of Cyrene, who was drafted into carrying the cross, was carrying the cross out behind Jesus. But the people who were following him and the people who were mourning and lamenting for him, here is a group of people who did not understand the capacity of Jesus Christ, saw him probably in the right way as a guiltless man who had been framed improperly through the authorities both of the Pharisaical nation and Pilate himself. And so there were many who were probably jeering for his crucifixion, but I would dare say there were many who were following along behind him and seeing the horror of this man being accused wrongly. And so there was mourning for him. There was the great lament for him. Remember what he looked like. What did Isaiah say about him after he was scourged? Hardly recognizable as a man. But yet he was carrying a wooden beam. And it is believed not only the cross member, but the entire cross itself. Most crucifixions only had to carry the cross beam. It's believed Jesus was carrying the entire thing. And he could not. And so here's this group of people mourning him and lamenting him. But what was Jesus' response to them? What was Jesus' response to them? He says, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves." And he goes on to say, "It would be better, ladies, if you had no children, than what will become of you and your children because of this injustice. It would be better, ladies, if you had never had a child lean against your breast, than what will come for those who are a part of this travesty." He goes on to say, in the end times, and you can go to the book of Revelation and read this as well, in the end times they will begin to say to the mountains, "Fall on us." Why? The shame. Cry out to the hills, "Cover us up so that we cannot see the face of Jesus Christ." Why? The shame. They could not stand to bear to look upon the face of the Holy One given what they had done. Hanging on the cross between the two criminals, thankfully one repented and said, "Oh Lord, remember me on your day and this day when you go into paradise." And he did. But these words of Jesus Christ are the words that's been echoing in my ears all week. Now again, let this sink in clearly where Jesus is right now. He is hanging from a cross. He is hanging with spikes driven through his lower wrist portions. He has a spike driven through both feet at such an angle that to breathe he must push down on his feet, pull up on his arms so his diaphragm will have room to bring in air. But yet the agony of the spikes causes him to drop, which further incurs the pain of the spikes. And this happened repeatedly until Jesus Christ suffered, suffocated. Agony. Agony upon agony. But yet, what were his words? What were his words? "Father, Forgive them. Because they don't know. They don't know what they're doing. Sometimes ignorance is a good thing. But I don't know if these men repented. There was one guard who did acknowledge Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. I think we'll get to meet that man. We don't know the position of these others. But Jesus' words, Father, forgive them. And folks, this is our teaching for today. First of all, for the people who mourned Jesus Christ. This decision by the Supreme Court, there are those out in our society who now, not now, but are continuing to look at the church in a more degraded fashion. They look at the church and see us as very narrow-minded, as very closed-minded, not progressive at all, that we have not come of age to understand the capacity of this lifestyle. And so they look at us and go, why don't you understand? Why can you not accept this? Just as these people were lamenting at Jesus' position, thinking he was the one being wronged and that they were in the right, we have that today. We have people who look at the church and think we are the ones being wrong and they have it in the right, or that we are the ones who do not understand this. But what should our position be? Don't weep for me. Don't weep for the church. Weep for yourself. Why? And we can make this bigger. We can make this larger than the decision a week and a half ago. Those who stand in direct contradiction to the things of God, those who stand vehemently and adamantly against the things of God, and think that the church is this closed-minded, narrow-viewed, bigoted group of people, intolerant. Don't weep for me. I'll be fine. But weep for yourself. Weep for yourself. Because those who stand in direct contradiction of the biblical teaching, those who stand in direct contradiction to the things of God, and not only in ignorance, but do it vehemently and adamantly, will one day find themselves standing before the holy and righteous Lord Jesus Christ. And just as we talked last week about the weeds and the wheat, the goats and the lambs, when he divides that group and you realize you're standing on the wrong side, then just like these, you will cry out for the mountains to cover you. Just like these, you will cry out for the hills and mountains to collapse over us so I cannot see the glory and not feel my shame. Folks, the things that are going on in and around the world today should not surprise us. How would you expect pagans to act other than pagan? It should not surprise us. What hurts more is when people in the church follow this teaching, when it is so clearly and pointedly given to us in Scripture. But again, let's not do it so narrowly. Sin. And many of us in this room, we're sinners. We're fallen beings before a holy and righteous God. I have been redeemed. This table is given so that I can stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. In shame of my sin, yes. But because the hand of Jesus Christ will reach out for me, I won't have to cry for the hills to cover. So I don't want us to stand with our fists raised too high in the air toward these that follow this teaching. Because as we spoke last week, that's not our position. Judgment Day will take care of that. So how are we to respond? How are we to respond? I saw love, compassion, with a wisdom with a wisdom that goes beyond earthly measure. We are the ones who should be mourning the sinfulness of this world, and I think you do. So toward these that hold this particular position, or toward anyone who holds an adamant, vehement position against God, what would be our words toward them? What did Jesus say? Father, forgive them. Because they don't know. Because an unbiblical, ungodly position is a position of ignorance. Quite honestly. And we pray for mercy that Jesus Christ prayed on those soldiers that nailed him to that cross. We pray for forgiveness of these who assaulted biblical teaching so adamantly. And look at the church as a bigoted group of intolerant people. It's a position of ignorance. And so we utter the words that Jesus Christ did. Father, forgive them. Because they don't know. As I said last week, any conversations we have, and again, not just this particular position, anytime we find our place in conversations with those who are just so adamantly and vehemently against God, it would be easy to lash out. The better position is the one Jesus Christ took. He stood before Pilate without an argument. Because he knew Pilate had nothing to do with this other than the instrument to move him toward the cross. It was his Father's will. The sinfulness of our time today, many people will say today is the most immoral time in the world. I would argue differently. Go back and study first century Rome. Ours is bad. But y'all didn't see any babies lying in the ditch on the way in this morning, did you? You would in Rome. Desertion was practiced. But we have our sinfulness of our age. And so we cry out, God, be merciful. We show grace because we've been shown so much grace. Love because we've been shown so much love. Let's pray together. Father, indeed, forgive them. They know not what they do. Forgive us in our sinfulness, Lord. But for the grace of God, there am I. Why do I have the blessedness of having a Savior while others don't? The hardness of heart, the work of the Spirit. Father, my heart breaks for these who hold such an unbiblical view of life, hold such an unhealthy view of you. And may, Father, you show them your grace, just as you did me and many in this room. But Lord, in our conversations, whatever topic or subject, let us be merciful. Let us be filled with compassion. Let us understand with an eternal wisdom of how all of this is going to end up. The war is won. We have battles to wage, but the war is won. And let us live in that victory with grace and humility that we know the mighty Savior in this table in which it portrays. In Jesus' holy name, amen.